The first lesson today is taken from Revelation chapter 7. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, from all the tribes of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is taken from 1 John chapter 3. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
You are here this day because of A, God's gift of faith to you, and B, because someone, and perhaps several someones, introduced you to Jesus. That may have happened when you were a teenager, or as an adult, or as an infant when you're carried to the baptismal font. But no matter when it happened, God was involved, and so was some human being who acted as God's intermediary, bringing you the message that Jesus died on the cross in payment for all of your sins and rose from the dead, conquering death both for himself and for you. That is good news. Praise God. Praise God for his work in your life, and praise God for the person who brought you the message of Jesus. Now, I'd like you to think for a moment and recall the person or persons that God used to bring the message about Jesus to you. Seriously. Seriously. Who were those people? Raise your hand if you could, name that person or persons. Are you glad that that person and their willingness, or are you glad for that person and their willingness to bring you to Jesus? Wow. Thank you, dear. You know, the traditional service is supposed to be more reserved, and they were right on that. Now raise your hand if that person has passed from this life to the next life. Do you know what those people are? Those people are saints. That's what they are. Take a look at our graphic of the day. Do you see those people on the upper half of the picture? Those figures represent those who have left this earth and are now with Jesus in heaven. Jesus, I'm assuming, is represented by the figure whose robe is predominantly white and has the brightest halo. We heard about those people in our lesson from the book of Revelation this morning. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Yes, Jesus has been made known to people all over the world. The Church of Jesus Christ is made up of people from every tongue, every ethnicity, every skin tone, people of every stripe and description. And there's more from this passage. "And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more. Nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes." Friends, this passage is about those people whom God made instrumental in bringing you to faith in Jesus Christ. They are saints of God. And you and I should be eternally thankful for them. Today is All Saints Sunday. Today we remember those who have gone before us and shown us the way. And whether the person, the people, or the persons who were instrumental in seeing you come to faith are alive on this earth here and now, or whether they are in heaven, we are going to pause and have a moment of silence. And I invite you to have a sincere and holy moment with God, wherein You pray to God a prayer of thanksgiving for these people. You ready? We begin. Lord, we do. We thank You for these people, these saints who have shown us the way to Jesus. Amen. My brothers and sisters, on this All Saints Sunday, I want to make something known to you, clear to you. And I pray that this will be something that you embrace, that you rejoice in, and ultimately something that you live up to. It's this. It's a timeless truth of God. You, if you have faith in Jesus, are this very day a saint. The New American Standard translation of the Greek word hagios is translated as the word saint 61 times in the New Testament. And the vast majority of the times, it's referring to people who are living. Literally, the Greek word hagios means holy ones, and usually carries with it the notion of being set apart for the special purposes of God. Now, isn't that something? You, yes, you have been chosen by God for a special purpose. Now, I understand. Most of us wake up in the morning, and in thinking about the day ahead, we begin to think about the doctor's appointment we may have that day, or getting the kids ready for school, or about the project deadline at work that's just around the corner, or the fact that it may be another 108 years before the Cubs win another world championship. Of course, the same might be said for my Buffalo Bills, too. But the point is, so much of the time, we have our agenda, dreams, hopes, obligations, responsibilities, and often we don't give God's agenda much of a thought. Oh, I don't mean to suggest that none of you ever think of God's agenda for your day ahead. I know you do. But I also know that life on earth happens. And it's jammed and it's packed with 3,014 things every hour, all of which can distract us from what God might be wanting to accomplish through you and through me. Look again, if you will, at the graphic of the day. On the lower half of the picture, you see a number of blue or gray or dark figures with halos. I like to think of those as those saints as you and me. You also see a lone figure kneeling in prayer. I sense that it won't be long before that person too arises, dons their halo, and joins the others at the bottom of the screen. What I see that painting representing are God's saints in heaven and God's saints on earth, all of whom have arisen and are seeking to carry out what God calls them to do. You see, one of the things that we sometimes seem to forget is that God chooses to work through intermediaries. Now, he doesn't have to. He could just think something and it would be done. But as I said, God simply chooses to work through intermediaries. Whether they be angels, whether they be saints in heaven, whether they be the saints on earth. You and I don't deserve the high calling of being chosen by God to represent Him. But represent Him we do by His calling and by His grace. Now, having shared these things, I want to interject something. After a whole lot of conversation with Stephanie and in prayer to God, I have reached a decision. And that decision is that I will retire effective tomorrow. Okay, not tomorrow. But I have reached the decision to retire. My plan is to retire next year. At present, my plan is to retire next year on Pentecost, which is June 4th of 2017. Now, I suppose there's a possibility that the date could change depending upon who knows what, but that's the plan. At that point, I will have completed 33 years of congregationally based pastoral ministry. And, well, I'm ready to serve my Lord in some new ways. Hopefully, one of those new ways will be by sitting on our porch at our Little Red Cottage in North Carolina, writing things that will be of benefit to the larger body of Christ. Hopefully, one of those things will be annoying my neighbors by playing my guitar and singing about Jesus. Well, I hope I don't annoy them that much. Hopefully, I will speak at some pastoral conferences. Stephanie and I may spend some time doing mission work. Clearly, we've not really nailed all of that stuff down, but we're working on it, we're praying on it. Now, I've made this announcement within the context of the sermon as opposed to simply at the end of the service for a reason. You see, I don't want the takeaway from this service to be about my retiring. I want you to leave here with a different message. I am praying that you will leave here today committed to be among those who are the rising of the saints. The rising of the saints. You see, Epiphany Lutheran Church isn't my congregation. I don't own it. I'm simply the pastor. Epiphany Lutheran Church isn't your congregation. You don't own it. It's God's congregation, and you are privileged to be a part of it. The congregation exists for the purposes God gives it. And whether I'm here serving as your pastor, or after I leave and you are without a pastor for a time, or even after the new pastor arrives, God's calling is upon the saints to rise up. You see, here's how it often works. The pastor retires, and the lay leadership addresses the congregation and says that now that they don't have a pastor, everyone needs to pitch in and lend a helping hand. Then the leadership of the congregation asks if everyone will put their shoulder to the plow during the time of vacancy. Then, when finally the new pastor arrives, some people keep putting their shoulder to the plow, and most people ease up now that they have a pastor. We've got a pastor now. Whew. Now, it's good that people step up and serve in great faithfulness during the vacancy, but it's not good that after the new pastor arrives, a significant part of the membership eases back on their ministry involvement. Can you see how that could be a problem? And nearly always, that's what happens. The saints stop rising up. It happened here after I arrived. Though, to your credit, it wasn't an immediate and precipitous fall off. No, no, no. But still, it happened. For example, Right now, we have been trying to find a secretary for the church council. The job, consists of coming to the council meeting for about 2 hours, 10 out of 12 months of the year, taking notes, and then typing the minutes up sometime between the meeting and the next meeting. We're talking about 3 hours a month or so. 10 times a year. That's not a particularly onerous task. And yet, we've been looking for someone for nearly a year now. Now, I understand some who have asked, maybe all who have asked, been asked, have very legitimate reasons why they couldn't accept the position, Dove. So if you were one of the people who were asked, don't think I'm beating you up or anything. You have very good reasons, I'm sure. But do you see how that could be an example of how the saints at times are not willing to rise up? By the way, after the first service, someone came and said, I can do that. Hallelujah. John Cade was very, very glad. So here's my desire and my plan, so much as I know of it at this point. My heart's desire is that the saints of Epiphany would rise up. Rising up to do the work God calls us to do while I'm still here, after I'm gone, and then continuing on after the new pastor arrives. What a gift that would be to him. A congregation of people who have risen up and said to their Lord, here I am ready to serve. It's a wonderful dream. And it can happen. But it will only happen to the degree the people of Epiphany agree to it. And they will only agree to it to the degree that they are legitimately committed to Jesus because of their great love for Him. Therefore, the elders and I have come up with a plan. So, in saying that, I want you to know that I'm not just springing this on everybody all at once. The elders know about it, the church council. We've been talking for months about when I might retire, so just want you to think I was not being just mean and just dumping this on you. But anyway, we've come up with a plan. A plan that we pray, you and 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 you, and you get the idea, that all of you would buy into and participate in. Starting in January, though there's a possibility the first one may be in December, I will hold a monthly standalone event. We're trying to come up with a name for it, but we haven't found one just yet. Maybe we'll call them The Last Times with Pastor Mark, or Truth Talks, or Deepening the Stakes. But regardless of what these times are called, what they'll be are times of about an hour to an hour and a half during which I will talk on various topics. This will be informal. It will be conversational. In other words, it's not a sermon. There will be free-flowing interaction. I'll be choosing topics that I believe can take you deeper in your walk with Jesus. Because you see, here's the truth. If you were to decide today that you are committing yourself to rising up to greater service in the Lord and His people, but you aren't growing in your love and devotion to Jesus, you will simply burn out. Therefore, the topics I will present are topics that will give you the opportunity to grow in your discipleship, your commitment, and your love for the Lord. My sincere prayer is that every one of you will attend. That would thrill the heart of God. It really would. You see, the church on earth exists basically for two reasons. The church on earth has two responsibilities. One, caring for and nurturing those who already are a part of the family of faith called Epiphany. That's called inReach. And two, reaching out to those who don't yet know Jesus and hence are not a part of the family of faith. And I see those people also represented in the graphic of the day. They are the figures on the left. Well, you can't really see them too well. Look at this one. It's a little bit more predominant. Over on the left side, higher up than I can reach, okay, there are some figures that are almost into the next life, but they don't have halos. They don't know Jesus yet. They haven't been reached yet. My friends, we began by remembering and recognizing and thanking God for the people who introduced us to Jesus. Most of those people are with Jesus in heaven right now. And they have now passed the baton to us. We need to reach them. I had a thought this morning driving to the church that I've never had before. I can't even believe that I never had this thought before. It dawned on me that to my recollection, in my 64 and a half years of life, I've only had two people engage me in a conversation where they sought to understand whether I knew Jesus or not. Only two people in 64 years. And I'm guessing that the majority of you have a similar experience. We Christians are falling down on this. It needs to change. It does. Those people are getting near to their time of change from this life to the next, and I want them in heaven. And so does Jesus. We must reach them. And we must also, at the same time, build one another up. And we can effectively do both of those things the more we have God's heart for them. And the only way we can come by His heart for them is by loving God ourselves more dearly and deeply. So that will be the focus of these special events. Helping you to fall in love with Jesus more deeply. I pray that the Spirit of God will move you to be a part of this process. And I pray that the Spirit of God, because of all of this, will do a tremendous work in our midst. That's my prayer. The rising of the saints for the glory of God and for the benefit of others. Amen.